Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. God has called us to this place of peace and quiet. We come eager for rest and hope. The Lord is always with us, offering us refreshment for our souls. Let us partake of this wondrous gift. It is the gift of the Lord's love for us. Come and rest. Praise God for the absolute compassion of God's love. Amen. Our affirmation of faith. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 14. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people, Israel, and have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I'll make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more, and evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy foes prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Thy flock from sin defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Early let us seek thy favor. Early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still.
If you have your Bibles this morning, join me as we read our scripture text from the 6th chapter of Mark, verses 30 through 34 and 53 through 56. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns, and they arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about the whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard that he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today, Dexter is not present in worship, nor is his mother. The reason is that he's attending a morning football camp in Rogers. Yes, on a Sunday morning. Has it become so taken for granted that people just don't attend church anymore that a second thought is even given to scheduling such events on a Sunday? There are also a great number of people who are forced, in a sense, to miss church altogether because they have to work on Sundays. Most stores and restaurants and many, many businesses are open on Sundays. Often children's soccer games, baseball games, and so forth are scheduled during the time that most churches have their worship services. Of course, if we were just to sit around and blame the world for these problems, it would be mighty self-righteous and naive of us. One of the wonders of Facebook is that I can still stay in contact with my pastor friends from both the Baptist and the United Methodist faiths. Last week, I was messaging with a colleague of mine who had told me that through much of the 80s into the 90s, the pulpit of the church that he is now the pastor of was filled with preachers who literally did not believe in Jesus Christ, heaven, and hell. He said to me, "It's amazing that there's anyone left in this church." In the 1700s, there was a Christian movement that held the attention of the entire English-speaking world. It's called the Great Awakening. Perhaps only the Reformation or the Apostolic Age itself could surpass the spiritual fervor that God poured out at that time. All the preachers that God used to usher in this time, whether they were highly educated, ordained clergy, or not, were people who stuck with sound doctrine that they had fervor about their faith, and they strove to give their lives 100% to Jesus. And there lies the key. Before the Great Awakening struck, the spiritual and moral conditions across the land was foul with corruption and crippled by moral decay. The people in the ruling class were mainly people who, well, believed in some kind of supreme power if they were religious at all. The preaching from the pulpits at that time was quite cold, and the primary concern was that no one should show any sign of being enthusiastic about religion. Meanwhile, public behavior had become extremely outrageous. For example, the gin craze was in full swing in England. Everyone was making their own liquor. The effect, according to the Bishop of London, was that gin made the people what they never were before, cruel and inhumane. In those days, the rich got richer, and the poor, they got even poorer. Street children and the insane were treated cruelly. Gambling was everywhere, and stage productions were obscene, even by today's standards. The point is that a great awakening was just as improbable then as it may seem today. Jonathan Edwards, a man who played a great role in the Great Awakening in America, is quoted as saying, "Time after time, when religion seemed to be almost gone and it was come to the last extremity, then God granted a revival." He always insisted that there would be times of conflict, remissions, and lulls between the sovereign outpourings of the Spirit. A decline in the spiritual and moral character of our nation, according to Edwards, is to be interpreted as a preparation for an even greater outpouring. And so, although in the year 2020 we may just throw up our hands and ask the question, where is the world going to? Is there any hope? Well, friends, I can unequivocally give you the answer, and that answer is yes. A great and resounding yes. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, before the Lord called Samuel, we are told, "In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." But by the end of that chapter, we're told that the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground, and Samuel's word came to all Israel. Why was this? It was because Samuel was speaking the word of God. And whenever and wherever the word of the God is spoken, there is conversion, revival, the world is turned on its ear, and a great awakening takes place. Are we speaking about the word of God? I've had people tell me that out of all their acquaintances, they are the only ones who get up and go to church or take their children to church. Friends, let's face it, a very large percentage of those living around us, of the children we see riding their bikes and playing in their yards, of the folks living in big houses and driving fancy cars, of the folks living in modest homes and driving older cars, our coworkers, our neighbors, classmates, friends, and family members have not heard the word of God. I say that again, those people have not heard the word of God, a good number of them. What are we going to do about it? In our gospel lesson for this morning, we find Jesus very busy. So many people were coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have a chance to eat. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns, and they got there ahead of Jesus and the apostles. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, so he began teaching them many things. Why all this commotion? Why were the crowds flocking to Jesus in such an overwhelming way? Could it be that the word of God was being preached? People were being saved, and therefore the world was turned up on its ear? At the beginning of the Great Awakening, a preacher named George Whitefield became converted. He began to preach twice each Sunday, and thousands of people began to flock to hear him. Soon he was preaching every day of the week, and people nearly rioted for the opportunity to hear him. His messages were simple, direct, and he taught the basic doctrines of being born again or being justified by faith. The people had not heard this explained clearly before, and it was like a lightning shock to their hearts. Whitefield was declaring, not his message, but God's, "You must be born again." Whitefield saw the people as sheep without a shepherd. One February, when it was freezing cold, he went through the settlements and huts where the coal miners lived. He found 200 people who were willing to come and hear him. Whitefield spoke graphically about how much Jesus loved them and how in a cruel crucifixion he died for them, just to save them for their sins. And as he preached about Jesus' love and salvation for them, he started to notice pale streaks on the blackened faces of a few miners. Soon, all their dark faces were streaked with white strips formed by tears, as the gospel of Jesus convicted each and every one of them, one by one. The next Sunday, he preached there again. This time, there were 10,000 people in the crowd. It is estimated that he preached to over 2 million people in one summer right before he set sail for America. And this was before the days of loudspeakers and before the days of huge sports arenas. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. When we go about our daily routines, do we have compassion on those who have not heard the word of God? Do we realize that we are literally surrounded by large crowds of people who are like sheep without a shepherd? And if so, what, if anything, do we do about it? The majority of seminaries these days, which are shouldered with the task of teaching future ministers how to be ministers, are filled with scholars and professors who are not clergy members and are not necessarily Christians. Many of the classes which are offered treat the Bible and Christianity as just some other book and some other movement. When I was attending classes at Candler Seminary, I was blessed to take a course on evangelism that was taught not by a scholar or even someone with a doctorate. Instead, the class was taught by a woman who is part of an evangelical Christian motorcycle group. She taught us how to share the basics of the gospel. And I remember one day, a student, and of course, we're taking these classes during the midst of COVID, so a lot of it was online. He responded that this is amazing. Why haven't I ever heard this before? Why haven't I heard this in my church? And this is spoken by a guy who was studying to become a preacher. Now, this year, despite all the effects of COVID, despite all the requirements for us to socially distance and stay away, he was able to start up a group at a local college campus for evangelical Christians. Now, if a person who is studying to be a pastor has not heard the gospel clearly explained before, what about your average Joe that lives down the street? One day, an expert in the law tested Jesus with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. love your neighbor as yourself. Has our neighbor heard the word of God? Do we love them enough to speak it to them? Do we have this much compassion? John Wesley wrote that we are to earnestly grieve for those who do not know the Lord. Those who truly love their neighbors as themselves desire nothing other than the salvation of their souls. Wesley writes, "Do you love your neighbor as yourself? The Lord God fill your heart with such love for every soul that you will be ready to lay down your life for the sake of others." This is what Jesus said. This is what many of the first apostles did. This is what we're called to do. Don't worry if you feel as if you're not educated enough. Don't worry if you don't feel as if you are an eloquent speaker. Because if you speak the word of God, if you teach others God's basic and simple plan of salvation, you will see that people will be saved because God's word is living and active, and God will honor his word. God's word is all that we need. It is all anyone and everyone needs. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power." Whenever we resolve to know nothing but accepting Jesus Christ and him crucified, the Holy Spirit gives a great demonstration of God's power. The human race is born to sin, and the wages of sin is death and hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's all we need to know. That's all that we need to say. And that's exactly what this world needs to hear. The world is so ripe to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ explained to them clearly. Just open the paper. Just turn on the evening news. Just drive down the street and open your eyes. Time is perfect for a great awakening. People are aching to hear the truth. Our society may have numerous creature comforts, but we have never had a higher rate of depression and hopelessness. Do we have enough compassion to leave this place and tell the sheep about the great shepherd, the only one who can cure them of every ill? We're so very blessed at Pea Ridge United Methodist Church. So many of us know the way to salvation. Now, all we have to do is allow God to use us to tell others about it. Let's get ready for the great awakening. And what a better place to start than here at Pea Ridge. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your words and for helping me to recognize how quickly you can be pushed out of my life. Help me to change my attitude from prioritizing the urgent things in life to what is of eternal value. Help awaken me, Father, to understand that the eyes of my heart should always be on you, considering that you are the most important thing in my life. Refresh us today, Father. May our time of rest and worship renew us, reinvigorate us, so that we may go out and help awaken the world to the love and care provided only through faith in Jesus. We pray all these things in his holy and precious name, as he taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fragrance of spring. Every creature's unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable.
Listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.